This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call on Wednesday, the 29th of March 2023. And markets seem to be calming down, at least in some areas. We have a positive risk sentiment out of Asia, which is carrying over into European and US equity futures. The big news is Alibaba. We'll get back to that. Alibaba is up 13% because of they breaking up their businesses. And that, together with news yesterday, consumer confidence is the expectations are rising faster than estimates. We also had positive outlook from the consumer-oriented company Lululemon. We also had energy stocks yesterday rallying together with transportation, mining stocks, and banks. So the four probably most pro-cyclical industry groups were all leading the gains yesterday. So a sense of relief, maybe, a bet on a stronger economy that at least would be my interpretation from the last 2 days of trading sessions. We are trading somewhere around 4,030 level in the S&P 500 future. So that is smack on around the 50-day moving average. It's going to be very interesting because we're bumping up against the two previous resistance levels that is lying a little bit above where we are right now in terms of trading. So big levels ahead. And I also want to quickly highlight, I think it was an interesting headline that have come out, and that is that 1,000 leading individuals related to the AI community and some of the more famous people, Andrew Yang, Elon Musk, etc., have signed this open letter where they are arguing for a 6-month pause in AI technology so that no new model with capabilities beyond ChatGPT-4, which is the latest version, should be developed. They are worried that there is an arms race going on and that there is an incentive to put out bigger and bigger and more complex and powerful models versus having a careful consideration about risk related to AI technology. So interesting developments there, a little side story there. But if we move along, I mean, the focus in Europe today as well will be on these AT1 bonds. We had a new low in this ETF traded in London that tracks the majority of the AT1 bonds in the world. So, this is a $260 billion market, the very important funding source for European banks in their tier one capital structure. So obviously focus again on that market. And again, on real estate, I put out a note yesterday. It's all about credit conditions. It's all about real estate right now. And European real estate was particularly weak yesterday. I think it was down almost 3%, by far the worst sector. And right now the action is around town. And they are actually out with their fiscal year 2022 results this morning, and they are skipping their dividends. But they're also offering a cash tender offer on two of their notes with maturity in 2025 and 26. The market is clearly very worried here. Around town is also putting out an outlook for this year's cash flows from their operations, which is significantly lower than what the analysts had in terms of estimates. So as you can see here, this is an updated table. Very strong price pressures onto the downside again in around town and some of the other German and Swedish real estate companies. So I think this industry sector will continue to be in focus. I've talked enough already. I think we should also talk about the driving force all behind the positive sentiment in energy stocks, and that, of course, crude. We talked about it yesterday, but it seems like momentum is continuing here.
Indeed, Peter, we have seen continued strength both in WTI and Brent. I've highlighted WTI on the chart today also because we got the weekly stock report out later. But as we can see, we recovered more than half of the losses that we saw at the early parts of March during the banking crisis breakout. And at this point, we are back above the 21-day moving average, potentially signaling additional momentum coming back into the market. So it highlights, at least from the oil market perspective, that the banking crisis is behind us, as we can see on the previous slide with these 81 bonds. This is probably not the full story, but I think it also just highlights the amount of wrong footing that we saw by speculators during that sell-off, and a lot of that has now been rectified. Looking ahead, the market is still somewhat concerned about supplies from northern Iraq through Turkey. There's a dispute going on, which has reduced supplies by more than 400,000 barrels a day. That's just adding a little bit of extra momentum to the price action we're seeing. But overnight, the market also responded positively to the weekly update on stocks from the American Petroleum Institute. They showed a 6.1 million barrel drop in crude stocks last week. If that's going to be repeated by the EIA this afternoon, which obviously based on surveys is unlikely, but if it was, it will be the biggest stock draw so far this year, and that'll go a long way to further support and underpin prices, especially with the big draw we're seeing in gasoline stocks at the same time. But what we experience right now is very robust U.S. exports. They're obviously exporting a lot of crude and fuel to Europe, where we had to look for alternative buyers as the sanctions on against Russia continues to bite. But generally, it looks like we are heading back towards that 80 mark in Brent. If we can get a foothold above that, then we're basically back to the sweet spot, which I think OPEC Plus is very pleased with this 80 to, the low 80 area. And that probably should suck some additional volatility out of the market.
Interesting. I will follow this very carefully, because we've talked about commodities in general with the Chinese reopening still in a very low gear. But and we will definitely come back to those stories. But another area of the commodity market, which is the precious metals, gold is still in focus. And especially with the PCE report coming up the next couple of days.
Indeed, gold is gold and oil. I mean, they're the two opposite ends of the scale. If we look at some of the performances this past month, and it's most certainly worth keeping an eye on, just simply from the perspective of how the market perceives the risk in the market at this point in time. We've seen some of that risk come out of the market. So gold has drifted lower after hitting $2,000 last week, but we're still holding well above that key support at around that 1933 level, which is the first retracement level. And as you said, Peter, we are now looking towards the spending and PCA update on Friday, because I think as we also highlighted yesterday, the main concern in the gold market right now is simply the massive gap between where the FOMC left us last time and where the market is expecting rates will go, i.e. more than 125 basis point drop over the next 12 months. That gap is simply too wide, and that's and we need to see data either confirm the market's view that rates are coming down, or the opposite. And if it's the opposite, then we could potentially see some additional weakness in gold, at least in the short term. There's been a lot of focus recently also on the pickup in demand. We can see that through the GLG ETF, which is the world's biggest ETF tracking the gold price. There was a big jump in coal. Call option activity last week that has already started to fade, but it just brought a lot of comments about the market being the boat is tipping over because it's, the long is too big, and the investors been rushing into gold. Yes, they have been rushing in, but if you look at if you look at ETF holdings in general, and if you also look at the money manager's position through the futures market, it's still well below where we've seen it in recent years. And so with that in mind, I don't think the market is overextended at all to the upside at this point in terms of positioning.
All right, if we move to slide 6 in today's slide deck, stocks to watch today. So coming back to the Alibaba story, it came out overnight, and there will be a follow-up event from management with the investors tomorrow, and the news is that Alibaba is splitting into 6 separate businesses. They, in their press statement, says that it's to unlock value, and that of course is one of the business reasons. But another very important fact to get straight here is that it also aligns Alibaba with the government's anti-competition views and the laws that have recently, over the past couple of years, been part of this whole sanitation, if you will, of the private sector. Alibaba and Tencent were really the companies in focus by the Chinese government as using their conglomerate structure to lock in consumers across the very businesses and doing a subsidization across the businesses. And Alibaba basically splitting into 6 separate businesses will begin to align Alibaba with the intentions of the Chinese government. And what we know is that they will begin to split the board of directors and the businesses, and then they will explore to what extent it's possible to publicly list the other entities. So at least what will remain in Alibaba on the exchange will be the big e-commerce part of the business, but the logistics business, etc., and some of the other business, the media business, will in the short term be private businesses for now. We also already highlighted the European real estate sector, of course, focus on around town, German, Swedish banks related to that real estate weakness, of course, are in focus today. And then Lululemon, which we highlighted in yesterday's podcast, the shares were up 13% in extended trading. They were very strong in their Q4 revenue and earnings per share figures. The outlook for the Q1 and the fiscal year were also above estimates, and it's very clear that the push into new categories is providing tailwind and market share gains for Lululemon. So very interesting consumer-oriented stock right there. Micron Technology was also one of the companies that reported overnight. Shares were up 1%. They have a more mixed outlook, but they say that the memory chip market has turned a corner and will begin to move into growth in the coming quarters, and that 2024 and 2025 should be strong years for the memory chip makers if there is discipline in the industry. They also said that global shipments of smartphones will be slightly down for the year and mid-single-digit declines in shipments of PC units, and the data center turned around in the quarter that ended in February. So it seems like demand in the data center business is coming back. If we look at slide 7, the earnings watch slide, not a lot of focus from our side today. Very, boring companies reporting. So we are looking forward to tomorrow's earnings release from H&M, which is also a consumer company, more fast fashion retailer. The market or analysts are expecting 11% revenue growth for the quarter that ended in February. Still a problem with cost pressures, excess inventory, etc. So there's it's not very inspiring expectations for the EBITDA, which will be significantly lower from a year ago. So, but it's all about the outlook. And as you can see here on the little snippet I've inserted here on slide 7, analysts are quite optimistic. They expect revenue growth to remain steady at around 8-9% in the in the coming quarters, all the way through to August. And as you can see on the share price, H&M management has a gigantic task ahead of them to restore investor confidence and get this company back on the growth track. And with those words, Ole, I'll leave the macro calendar to you.
Yeah, and just before that, we got John traveling today, visiting clients. And excuse me, and in his absence, just a quick word on the FX market. I think the two main moves we've seen overnight was a softer than expected inflation print out in Australia. Softening the Australian dollar a bit, because it raises speculation that the RBA will be on hold when they have their interest rate decision next week. Elsewhere, the Japanese yen has weakened against the dollar. We're trading back up to 132. Kuroda at a speech in the parliament was talking about the rising wage pressure, and together with the with a small increase we've seen in the U.S. yields over the past few days, the dollar is gaining some strength against the yen. So these are the two major moves. But looking at the calendar today, just like the earnings calendar, is very, very light. Actually, the only one that I want to focus on is just the weekly inventory report that's coming out late this afternoon from the EIA. And as I said, it could be quite interesting to see whether we get that big stock draw and the potential positive impact that it could have on prices. But apart from that, we'll finish it here. We'll be back again same time tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.